It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
From WBUR Boston and NPR, I'm Tom Asbrook, and this is On Point. Football season is gearing up. Should your child be out there? A lot of American culture and sports tradition says yes. A lot of research on brain trauma and the effect of concussions is saying no. Forensic pathologist Bennett Omalu says letting kids under 18 play is child abuse. Is there a safe way to play the game? We'll get into it this hour. On Point, should you let your child play football? You can join us on air or online where this conversation is always on. How do you think about it? And for that matter, what about other contact sports with concussion risk? Soccer, rugby, lacrosse. Join us anytime at onpointradio.org or on Twitter and Facebook at onpointradio. I played football. Lots of people have played football. And this is the season when it's all cranking up. Here's the sound of a practice going on at Eugene Ashley High School, Wilmington, North Carolina.
Ready.
Hit! Hit, hit, hit. And that's football. Here at Orlando Sentinel last week, talked with Mainland High School wide receiver DeMarcus Adams. Said he doesn't really worry about getting concussions. He's in high school.
To be honest, I don't really think about it a lot when I play football. I just think about catching and who I'm going to run next to.
Well, he's in high school. That's his job. But what about parents thinking about this? And what about the research that's been coming out? Joining me first today from Windsor, Connecticut, is Tom Ferry, executive director of the Sports and Society Program at the Aspen Institute, author of Game On, The All-American Race to Make Champions of Our Children, also a former enterprise reporter for ESPN, focusing on youth sports. Tom Ferry, welcome. Thanks for being with us.
Good to be here, Tom.
We've been hearing about this research for a while now. The evidence in NFL players and more that these concussions can add up to very, very serious medical consequences. We're going to hear in this hour from Bennett Omalu, who's now saying it's child abuse to put your kid out there with this in this kind of contact sport. Is this getting traction, Tom? Do you see football teams scratching to fill the roster, or are American kids still just headed out to practice?
It depends where you're, which part of the country you're talking about. There are essentially three trends going on. In places like I live, regions where I live in New England, you do see problems with filling rosters. I've seen that in my own town. They're having trouble getting enough kids out there to play. In the South, it's generally a different story. You see no real change in participation. There's great enthusiasm for the game. They've heard about the concussion issue, but there's a real focus, probably more of a focus on chasing the athletic scholarship for college. And so parents are as eager as ever to put their kids in helmets and get out there and bang heads. And then you see places like Seattle where they still embrace football. And obviously the Seahawks are huge up there and the University of Washington and otherwise. But you see more of an embrace at the earlier ages in flag football. So more of a graduated kind of way of moving into football. So embracing it, introducing your kid to the game at an early age, but maybe being a little more progressive and thoughtful about how you move into the tackle scenario.
I mean, but you can look around the country. I'm looking at a big editorial here in the Chicago Tribune, right in the heart of the Midwest. They're looking at this latest research that's come out from Ann McKee at Boston University's CTE Center, where they pay a lot of attention to this damage, examined the brains of 111 deceased NFL players, found that 110 had this brain damage, chronic traumatic encephalopathy. And the Chicago Tribune saying, does it still make sense for kids to be playing football, and leaving that question wide open? This is not a question that 20 years ago you would have heard in this country, Tom.
Well, yes and no. I mean, I remember when I was growing up as a kid in the 1970s, there were parents who were reluctant to put their kids in the game. So we probably do need to acknowledge that this issue has been out there forever. What we have not had is the research to support the decision-making around it. And the research is still emerging. There is not a whole lot of it done on youth players. Some on high school players, but almost nothing on youth players. I mean, the lion's share of research has been done on adults who, are in their 20s and making largely informed decisions on whether to play the game or not. But the irony is nothing matters more to parents. You may be a fan of the New England Patriots and Tom Brady or otherwise, but the athlete you care about the most is the one who's living down the hallway, the one you go out and root for every Saturday and you pay fees for every week. And so it is a huge discussion, whether to let your kid play football, because you want only good things to happen to that child, and it's a really challenging situation for a lot of parents out there.
The Chicago Tribune highlighting in its editorial last week the famous case of Zach Easter. We're going to hear from his mother in a minute, but here's what they write. Zach began playing organized football when he was 8 and did not stop until his senior year of high school in Indianola, Iowa. Concussions marred his days as a linebacker. After he stopped playing, Zach coped with depression, headaches, and slurred speech. At 24, he took a shotgun from his father's truck, drove to a state park, and blasted a hole into his chest to spare his brain so they could look at it, I guess. A post-mortem examination of Zach's brain confirmed what the young man had long suspected. He suffered from CTE. This is this chronic traumatic encephalopathy. Tom Ferry, please stand by in Windsor, Connecticut. Zach Easter's mom, Brenda, joins us right now from Des Moines, Iowa. She's founder and CEO of CTE Hope. It's an advocacy organization in Iowa that facilitates research and education about CTE and brain trauma. Brenda Easter, thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you. So good to be here today.
You went through hell with this in your family. This is the time of year when kids head back out onto the practice arena for football. What are you thinking, feeling as they do?
We are a big family of loved football up until the point that we lost our precious Zach. And how do I feel? Horrified, to be frank, because we really don't know at this point who the next Zach is going to be.
Was there any question in Zach's mind that he was struggling with after effects of his football career in high school and earlier?
None. Zach absolutely knew once he started spiraling down with the symptoms of, I should say, the early symptoms of CTE, he knew quite a bit about what was going on with him. He took the time to do the research. I should add that we saw multiple doctors his entire career as a young man playing football as early as fifth and sixth grade. So being the first CAT scan and CTs, which we know that chronic traumatic encephalopathy doesn't show up in those kinds of tests. So we saw a lot of doctors, and Zach asked the question to every single one, could my concussions have caused any of this? And every single one of those doctors said, I don't think so. I don't think concussions can cause this. What we know today, however, is that's not accurate. And concussions do have a long-term impact on an athlete if they're not properly treated.
You're there in Iowa. You get around the country thinking and talking about this problem. Do you see parents' attitude, and for that matter, kids' attitude toward football changing, Brenda?
We do. Since we started our foundation, CTE Hope, you'd be shocked at the number of parents, athletes, and those former athletes who played the sport. They're asking all of the right questions. And there are parents right now, and actually athletes who played high school but who had so many concussions while they played, have turned down athletic scholarships at the college level because they're choosing life, a quality of life, better than what they would get otherwise.
We're going to hear in this hour from Bennett Omalu. Will Smith played him in the film Concussion in 2015, and he's been saying lately, looking at all this research, that it's child abuse to put kids out there playing football, and yet many go. Let me get a call right here from Midway, Georgia. Mindy. Mindy, thank you for calling. You're on with Brenda Easter and Tom Ferry.
Hi, Tom.
Hi.
Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah.
I agree 100% with Bennett Omalu in reference to child abuse in relation to children's football. I don't think we know the extent to which CTE is taking place in our young athletes. And personally, having seen it, what it did to my father, I do not recommend the sport of football until someone can make an informed decision as an adult.
What's your family history on this front? What have you learned, Mindy?
What I've learned is that my father passed 3 years ago from CTE, and we sent his brain to Boston, where it was one of the 110 brains diagnosed with CTE. And it was a terrible demise to watch my dad, who was an awesome individual.
Was he in the NFL? What was his name? Where did he play, Mindy?
Yeah, he was in the NFL. His name is Earl Morrill, and he played 22 years with the National Football League, and he was on the 17-0 team in 1972 with the Miami Dolphins.
What position did he play?
He was the quarterback.
And he was one of the 110 found when they did the the examination of their brain to have CTE.
That is correct. That is correct. And so he went from a very well-balanced man to being confused. And it is what took his life 3 years ago in relation to his cognitive behavior. And without Bennett Omalu bringing attention to this situation, I don't think the game would. I think the game would have kept going. And I think Bennett deserves all the accolades in relation to CTE. And bringing it to attention, I know it's a big money-making facility, the NFL is, but there's a lot of hurt going on with the headbanging.
And football in your neck of the woods in Georgia, Mindy, is it as popular as ever among high school-age kids and younger?
It is, but I will tell you that I have seen some changes that I'm grateful for, and I understand through colleges, too, because of my friends' children's having kids. And my friends that have kids in high school, they have now asked their kids to stop playing, which I think is a good decision. But we're not having the two-a-day practices. We're not having the heavy hits, I guess. So they are doing a little bit in relation to the making changes in how practices are held.
Mindy, we're up against the clock here. I'm so grateful for your call. We're going to go to Bennett Omalu with your family's history in mind. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We'll be right back.
Support for this podcast and the following message comes from ZipRecruiter, who understands when you run a business, you've got important decisions to make every day, like hiring. ZipRecruiter makes finding quality candidates simple. With one click at ZipRecruiter.com/OP, you can post your job to 100 leading job sites across the web and manage your candidates all in one place with ZipRecruiter's easy-to-use dashboard. Find out today why ZipRecruiter has been used by businesses of all sizes to hire. Try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/OP.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking this hour about the danger of concussion from sports and the question, should you let your child play football? Or for that matter, other contact sports. It is the season. Here's the sound of the marching band at the start of a football game between McDonough and Edna Carr High Schools in Louisiana. Boom, 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 boom. And on comes the football. Filmmaker and writer Reed Forgave produced a documentary out this year about 24-year-old Zach Easter, who left a series of letters before he committed suicide after suffering from CTE for 6 years. He had played football from quite young and through high school. Here's Forgave narrating a part of the letter from Zach Easter.
I can look back and remember getting headaches during practice. Of course, by now, I had gained the reputation for my coaches and classmates about being a tough-nosed kid and a hard hitter. So I took this social identity with pride and never wanted to tell anyone about the headaches I got from practices and games.
Committed suicide at 24, and yes, CTE was a factor. His mother, Brenda Easter, founder and CEO of CTE Hope, is with us today from Des Moines, Iowa. Tom Ferry is here. He's executive director of the Sports and Society Program at the Aspen Institute. Wrote about all this for ESPN Youth Sports, author of Game On, The All-American Race to Make Champions of Our Children. You can join our conversation. Has football practice already started at your house? Do you have pads and cleats on the back porch? Do you think twice about your football-playing kids, their future? When you hear the research on contact, concussion, brain injury, have you said no, persuaded your child not to go out for football or other contact sports? Bennett Omalu, has made all of this very well known, the big movie Concussion. He was portrayed by Will Smith here, and he joins us in just a moment. He's now calling this child abuse. Brenda Easter, I want to put that to you. You lost a son to this when he finally committed suicide at 24. CTE was a big factor there. Got Bennett Amalu now calling this child abuse. How do you think about that?
Well, it's really difficult to even consider it child abuse because I was always very sensitive to that issue for many reasons. And the fact is that multiple subconcussive hits to the brain does cause long-term damage to some athletes' brains. We don't know which ones or who, although you could argue that probably all have some damage to an extreme. I don't feel as a parent that at that point I would consider it child abuse. But when you put it into context, what we know today is different than what I knew when Zach played.
I want to bring Bennett Amalu into our conversation and look at what's different, what changes might be coming, what you see, Tom Ferry. Bennett Amalu joins us from Sacramento, California. He is the doctor who cast chronic traumatic encephalopathy, CTE, into the spotlight back in 2002, examined the brain of former NFL center and Hall of Famer Mike Webster. He's played by Will Smith in the 2015 film Concussion, a forensic pathologist and neuropathologist. He's author of Truth Doesn't Have a Side, My Alarming Discovery About the Danger of Contact Sports. It's more than football he's looking at, but football's been right at the heart of it. Bennett Amalu, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you so much, Tom, for having me.
You're quoted as saying that letting or encouraging your child to go out and play football and maybe other contact sports is child abuse. How do you justify that?
Well, that was why I wrote my book, Truth Doesn't Have a Side, and I wrote that book for each and every parent in America today to help us answer this question. Do I love football more than I love my child? Do I love football more than I love my child? If you love football more than you love your child, my book will give you solace. But if you love your child more than you love football, my book will give you peace. Now, when I did the Mike Webster autopsy in 2002, I researched the medical literature across the centuries to the time of Hippocrates, 400 BC, mm-hmm. 400 years before Jesus Christ was born. Hippocrates was the father of modern medicine. Hippocrates was the first who identified concussions. He called it commotio cerebri. It is no longer new science. It is no longer in dispute. It is very well established in the literature across the centuries that there is nothing like a safe blow to the human head. Every blow to the human head causes some type of brain damage. A concussion is a type of major brain damage. If your son or daughter had suffered a concussion, your child had suffered brain damage. And like I said on ESPN, let's stop making this about CTE. CTE is just one disease of so many diseases in the spectrum of brain damage caused by blows to the head. Knowing what we know today, there is no justifiable reason whatsoever that a child under the age of 18 should play any of the high-impact, high-contact sports. These are football, ice hockey, mixed martial arts, rugby, boxing, and wrestling. These are the big six. For soccer, there shouldn't be any heading below the age of 18. And children below the ages of 12 to 14 should not play soccer as we play it today, because soccer is a high dexterity sport that requires high visual spatial coordination. A child's brain has not developed sufficiently to exhibit such capacity. What? Now, as a physician, I take classes in child abuse once every 2 years to maintain my license. And I'm mandated by law to report child abuse whenever I see it. Mm-hmm. What is the definition of child abuse? The intentional exposure of a child to the risk of injury. That injury does not have to occur. So while we wouldn't give a child a stick of cigarette to smoke, we would put on a helmet on the head of a child and ask him to go to a field to receive multiple subconcussions and concussions. Which is more dangerous, a stick of cigarette or a concussion of the brain? Of course, a concussion of the brain.
Dr. Mallo, may I ask you this? May I ask you this? Because people, I think historically in American culture and in others, have seen some advantages in some of the sports that you're talking about in building up physical capacity and building up toughness and building up, you know, even character. You can look back in the literature and see people talking about this. It's good for kids to be out there in the rough and tumble. So the risk might matter. If it's a very, very small risk, people might say, it's worth it. I want my kid to be, you know, agile and tough, and I want them to be out there in the rough and tumble and know the world is not so easy. It might be worth it. How big is the risk?
Children should play the non-contact sports. Football is not the only sport out there that children should play. Children should play the non-contact sports like swimming, track and field, lawn tennis, basketball, table tennis. In these sports, the non-contact sports will give your child whatever football will give your child and even more. The non-contact sports will preserve your child's intelligence and your child's mind. Knowing what we know today, would you rather send your child to play football and rob or deny your child of his mind and his intelligence? Now, there was a good paper, two papers that came out of Sweden, 2014 and 2016, whereby they looked at 1.1 million children who had suffered at least one concussion that brought them to a hospital. They followed them up for 41 years. Listen to the shocker. If your child suffers at least one concussion, your child is more likely to die before the age of 42 through violent means. Your child has about 2 to 4 times increased risk of committing suicide. Your child has about 2 to 4 times increased risk of suffering a major psychiatric illness, including major depression. Your child is more likely to engage in addictive behavior in disinhibition, like sexual improprieties, social improprieties, violent behavior, violent tendencies, and criminal behavior. Your child is less likely to complete college and is less likely to attain higher levels of education. Your child is more likely to be less gainfully employed. And then listen to another shocker. If we continue to expose children in these high-impact, high-contact sports, our children will become less intelligent and will become less competitive in the global economy, and it will impact the American economy, the GDP, by $1.1 trillion over 30 years. But knowing what we know today, yep, this is the 21st century. Like, I'm a Christian and I'm a scientist. Science tells us that as mankind, as a species, we must evolve. And as we evolve, we become more intelligent. And as we become more intelligent, we give up the less intelligent ways of the past. My Christian faith teaches me that we must gladly give up the old self, embrace the new self in the renewal of our minds, in the holiness and righteousness of the truth. That is the letter of Paul to the Ephesians. So knowing what we know today, all it takes for your child to suffer brain damage is just one season of football. Science has proven that.
But Bennett, hold the thought. Bennett Omalu, Will Smith played him in the movie Concussion, and you can still hear his passion very much on display right now. The Truth Doesn't Have a Side is the name of his new book. Tom Ferry, you hear that whole bill of particulars. Is that an argument that, I don't know, may bring American youth football or all football, let's stick with youth, though, to a halt?
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, Dr. Omalu has a great command of the research that's out there. It's all very helpful. People should know every last bit of it when they make decisions about whether their kids should play which sports. The challenge here is that football is extremely popular in low-income communities, okay? Low-income communities that often don't have many sport options. Many of the sports that he mentioned there, swimming and tennis and so forth, They're just not available in places like in some of the poorer places in America. So if you're going to tell parents don't have your kid play football, you've got to give them other options. We've got to create other options because there are a lot of kids sitting on couches out there and they're becoming obese and they become there are huge consequences to that for the kid individually, for their community, for society, for public health or otherwise. It's a ticking time bomb. So I don't think we can have a scenario where we can just say don't play contact sports. We've got to have it has to be married with a really intentional effort to introduce alternative sports to those communities.
Dr. Amalu, I want to bring that point to you. But first, Brenda Easter, having heard all of that from Bennett Amalu, Dr. Amalu, are you thinking, well, okay, it is child abuse?
I completely respect Dr. Amalu. Actually, Dr. Amalu is the one that actually examined Zach's brain. And it's just a shame that the information that he tried to present to the world in 2002 was silenced for a great deal of time because parents like me would have made different decisions with their family in playing contact sports. And of course, not every athlete experiences the big hit, the concussion. But the information that I would have had back then would have helped guide us making better decisions, and Zach would have stopped playing. And I think that, you know, child abuse is a scary word for most people in society. Mm-hmm. And so to call it child abuse is probably pretty accurate, but I think it's one of those things that, again, while it is a scary sport, and now that we know the information today, you know, as a parent, I still have a hard time calling it child abuse. But I do think that parents can make better decisions today than they did when Zach was young.
Bennett Amalu, I want to bring all that to you. We've got callers as well. Valerie in Nashville, Tennessee. You're on the air with Bennett Amalu, Brenda Easter, Tom Ferry. Hi, Valerie. You're on.
Hi, Tom.
Hi.
I am an athletic trainer in Nashville, Tennessee, mm-hmm. and it sounds a little self-serving, but I think that with all of the parents, if they're going to put their children out there to play a contact sport, they need to demand that an athletic trainer is on the sideline. We are trained to know the signs and symptoms of a concussion. We know how to properly treat a concussion, and we also know how to properly fit equipment and to teach children how to properly hit in football. So I agree with Mr. Perry, I believe it was,
Perry.
When he said that kids need to be out and exercising and playing on a team where we are preventing obesity and heart disease. And I do want to thank Dr. Amalu for his research as well. I think it's brought us leaps and bounds from where we were before in terms of treating concussions and bringing awareness to parents as to how to treat concussions.
But you say put an athletic trainer at the sidelines. Dr. Amalu, does that satisfy you? If you've got someone like Valerie who's trained in recognizing concussions at the sidelines, then do you say green light, go ahead or not?
Well, for adults, adults can play. Adults are free to do whatever they want to do. I would be the first to defend the freedom, liberty, and rights of every adult to play. So adults could play, but not children, because once a child has suffered a concussion, the damage is done. There is nothing no physician can do for you. Parents need to know that. Once you've suffered a concussion, the damage is done. We don't have any cure. We don't. And I must warn, that was why I gave the title of my book, I gave it the name Truth Doesn't Have a Side. The truth is always inconvenient. And the truth is always difficult, if not painful sometimes. But we shall not deny the truth because of its inconvenience, difficulty, or pain. And we cannot develop alternative truths. Otherwise, we shall never find a solution. You cannot solve a problem by creating another problem. Okay? If we have obesity epidemic in America, we should encourage our kids to eat less, to eat healthy, and engage in healthy sports. There is healthy sports, and there's unhealthy sports.
What if they can't afford swimming and tennis? You know, not every community has that, Tom Ferry points out.
What about track and field? Track and field, any child can run 100 meters on any field. Any child can run 500 meters on any field. So we need a renewal of our minds. We need to move away from this conformational cast of the mind. We need to embrace the light of knowledge, the light of our future. When you take away the mind and intelligence of a child, you have destroyed that child, no matter how good a sport football could be.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking this hour about the danger of concussion from sports and the question, should you let your child play football? Or for that matter, other contact sports? You can join us this hour. Have you said no? Have you persuaded your child not to go out for football? Football coaches, are you feeling reluctance, resistance, skepticism? Is it harder to fill the roster these days? And do you wonder if your players will go on to problems, coaches? Do you wonder about that? What do you do with those concerns? Lots of response online here. Jeff says, well, I think more kids get hurt riding their bicycles than playing football every year. But there is a lot of rethinking of all this as well. Gustavo says, mark my words, this is a dead sport. Billy says, three sons played. One received a third concussion in college. He says this father himself will advise against grandsons playing. Make an educated decision on your own, he says. And Lisa says, nope, my boy will not play. Heard a quote on NPR that I can't forget. Helmets protect the skull. There's nothing to protect the jello inside the skull. 800-423-8255. Bennett Omalo is with us. He's the doctor who first put CTE into the spotlight back in 2002. Played Will Smith in the 2015 film Concussion. Out with a new book, Truth Doesn't Have a Side, My Alarming Discovery About the Danger of Contact Sports. You can read an excerpt at our website, onpointradio.org. Brenda Easter is here. Her son Zach played football from the time he was quite young. And then, when he was 24 years old, committed suicide, shotgun to the chest, wanted his brain preserved and examined. Dr. Omalu examined it, and yes, they found damage from concussion there. Tom Ferry is with us, Executive Director of the Sports and Society Program at the Aspen Institute. And with us right now from Austin, Texas, Ernesto Cuatro Gross. He's Vice President of Hill Country, Pop Warner Football and Cheer League in Texas. He's coaching the Trojan Pop Warner Tiny Mites team, comprised of 5 to 7 year olds. The league is in the National Rookie Pilot Program, which is implementing rules to try to make the game safer. The program is administered by USA Football, which is the national governing body for amateur football, funded by the National Football League. Cuatro Gross, thanks very much for being with us from Austin, Texas today.
Thank you very much. I'm glad to be here.
Do you think you can make football sufficiently safe for young kids? I mean, you've got 5 to 7 year olds out there that you're justified in putting them out on the field.
Well, I can tell you that we're certainly making a lot of efforts to change the way the game is played and certainly the way the game is coached. And I've noticed a huge change in the level of awareness and concern on the part of parents and coaches in the past decade that I've been involved in coaching football, and it's really bled over into other sports. So I think a lot of what we've discussed thus far is very valuable to everyone, and it's really reaching across a lot of sports. So information is good, and this has been a good development.
What kind of changes are you making in the way kids are equipped or playing or coached, Cuatro, to hope to increase their safety?
I think one of the big things is you've got to focus on where the head is placed when children are blocking or tackling, and that the way that technique is taught to kids and the way coaches conceive of how football is played has really evolved. And I'm no expert on the medical side of this, and I know that all of these organizations have medical advisory boards, and I'll let them speak to that. What I can tell you is the common refrain that any man who played football, who might be 30, 40, 50 years old or more, is that voice they'll hear in their head from their childhood of a coach yelling, get your head across the bow. The idea being that you needed to tackle by literally placing your head across the line of the oncoming ball carrier to make a tackle. Contrast that with the focus today, which is entirely different. It's a 180 for a lot of these guys who are learning to coach a new way. So the refrain is going to be, keep your head behind the play. And that's a small example of some of the technique that's borrowed from the likes of rugby, where they tend to have more success tackling, where they try to involve their head a lot less in the contact.
What about equipment? Is there any change in equipment that might be, that you hope is useful here?
Well, I think the technology advances are great in things like helmets, but I personally don't like to get a false sense of security in equipment. And what you don't want is kids feeling invincible just because they put on a great new helmet.
Quattro Gross, stand by there in Austin, Texas. Bennett Amalo, you're listening in Sacramento, California. Do you believe that coaches, youth coaches, can coach their can coach kids to safety here when it comes to the risks you're writing about?
Well, you know, I've traveled across the world and I've listened to coaches coach the high-impact, high-contact sports. This is not only about football. And they always make the statement, like what we made here, we are trying to make it safer. If you see, the key word is we are trying to make football safe. It's like we're trying to make it safer. And now, I must advise every parent out there, this is not about concussions. This is about repeated blows to your child's head with or without a helmet. Your child does not have to suffer a concussion to suffer brain damage. Mike Webster never suffered a concussion. And yet Mike Webster had advanced CTE. Okay? So I believe that these high-impact, high-contact sports, you can never make them sufficiently safe for our children. These types of potentially dangerous activities should be left for adults. There are other healthier, more brain-friendly sports for children. And again, because I practice my faith in my science, I always bring the two together. Children are our most precious gifts of life. My middle name is Ifa Kandu. Life is the greatest gift of all. Would you place football above the gift of life in our children? This is a moral question society has to address. You can't make these types of sports sufficiently safe for our most precious children. And I must emphasize, this is based on the science. If you play football and you receive repeated blows to your head, I guarantee you, you have a 100% risk exposure to a certain type of brain damage to a certain degree with or without CTE.
I want to let that all stand right there and let our listeners come into this conversation. Steve in Stoughton, Wisconsin. Steve, you're on the air. Thanks for calling.
Hi, Tom.
Hi.
It's a great thing to be able to speak with you and the doctor. And that was his point, was my point as well, that thousands and thousands of repetitive blows take a toll. The brain is not meant to slosh around inside the skull like that. I played football, I played hockey, and I'm not even talking competitive. This is just sandlot growing up in the 60s and 70s.
Yep.
And in my life, I've had 16 to 20 diagnosed concussions.
Whoa.
Depending on, you know, were you blacked out, knocked out, whatever. And in my life, I have struggled with, you know, poor choices and impulse control. And now that I'm in my 50s, and it's been a few years since I've had a major brain event,
yeah.
And all this research comes out, I didn't make bad choices because I was a jerk. I made bad choices because I had brain damage.
Wow. And that's really how you look back on it now. That's that is a tough story, Steve. 16 times. I mean, you were throwing yourself out there, and you feel like you're paying a price for it, and I appreciate your call. Will in Hartford, Connecticut. Will, you're on.
Hi, thank you. So I'm from a small town in the Midwest. Football was king.
Yep. Knew it well.
The community played. They scheduled their social calendars around the high school football team.
Yep.
I played. My brothers played. My father did. I played into college. I would never, ever let my one-year-old son, when he grows up, ever play football. After all of this research that has come out, the physician you have,
Malu,
a documentary he was in a couple of years ago, and how the NFL tried to aggressively discredit him, I thought was shameful. I would never play football, and I thank him so much for all the work he's doing.
Even with all the physical joy in it, even with the glory and the lights and all the rest, Will, you're out for your kid.
I'm completely. I would never let him play. To the physician's point, he would. There are so many other things that can teach. What people that pulls on your heartstrings, that people think football teaches children and creates all these life lessons. The same lessons happen in basketball and ping pong, as he pointed out. I would never, ever let my child play football.
Will, I appreciate your call very much. Played in high school, played in college, says no. Carla in Baltimore. Carla, you're on.
Hi, thank you, Tom. I wanted to agree with the speaker and author. I believe that football at this point is well established to be child abuse. We know it causes brain injury. We know it's a very risky sport. And I've seen it in the emergency room. I'm an emergency room physician. I've been doing this for 40 years. Every fall, I see many, many people come in with many injuries, including concussions. It clearly adds up. It takes its toll. And this is like playing Russian roulette with your children. It's like telling them to, oh, go out and play in traffic. There's not much congestion today. You probably won't be hit. It's not a safe sport for children. It's not a safe sport for adults, but at least when they're adults, they can make that choice for themselves. What I have to question is why schools are allowing teams to form and children to play in schools at this point, because they need to take some responsibility here if the parents won't. And apparently, most of the schools are still going on with it because of, I don't know, pressure from the children, pressure from the parents.
Well, there's a lot of culture and history and momentum if you wanted to put the brakes on. I mean, we can just see that, Carla. But I take your point, and I appreciate your call. Quattro Gross, you're listening to all this in Austin, Texas, where you coach Pop Warner football. I mean, does it make you just want to lay down your coach's whistle and give it up?
Well, no. I really appreciate all of the discourse. I kind of sit back and think, well, maybe it's just irony, but I grew up playing soccer and tennis. I didn't even play football as a child. My son loved the game, and I got into coaching because I wanted to make sure he was having a positive experience. But ironically, in growing up playing soccer and tennis, I managed to get a mild concussion doing drills on the tennis court, tripping and hitting my head. I had a detached retina and was blind in one eye until I had it surgically repaired from being kicked in the face in a soccer game. I ended up being concussed 3 or 4 times, having plastic surgery on my face, breaking my nose 3 times in soccer. So I still loved the game, and I'm glad for the experience. But I just kind of have to point out the injuries, and including head injuries and repeated blows to the head, tend to happen a lot in a lot of sports, and so it may just be very challenging to clamp down on all of it. The other point I'll make is that in my coaching career, the injuries that kept the kids out of games for our teams have tended to be the broken arm from the playground, the concussion from skateboarding on the weekend that keeps a kid out the next week. So we do have a lot of things to be concerned about, and I think it's great to be aware and to prevent and to make everything we can safer. If the sport of football goes away one day, so be it. But until that time, as long as people love it, people like me want to make it as fun and positive and safe as possible.
Quattro, stand by there. Tom Ferry, Bennett Omalu makes a very emphatic case that he's going for safe, not safer, and that it's just plain wrong. I mean, do you see, over time, football losing altitude, even going away, I don't know, liability issues?
Well, it's already down. I mean, if you look at the statistics here, I mean, you know, only 3.3% of kids ages 6 to 12 were playing football last year. That's down from 4% in 2009. Mm. So we only really have 1 out of every 15 or so boys, 1 out of 30 kids playing the game right now. Mm-hmm. Even with flag, the numbers have gone down from 4.5% of kids in 2008 to 3% in 2016. Hmm. So there is this, you know, there is this move away from football. And the question is just how long we continue to encourage kids to be in helmets. The thing is, I mean, you know, Quattro's right. You cannot bubble wrap kids, and kids get injured in every sport. The question is, if you're skateboarding or you're riding your bike and you fall down, nobody asked you to fall down. Nobody set up a scenario where, you know, whereas in football, it's a coach telling you to bang heads against another coach. So when adults are involved, what is appropriate behavior? And so I think there's a real question for – maybe it's a good question for Quattro is why does he feel that 5 to 7-year-olds should be in helmets? I mean, there's no research suggesting that kids need to play tackle football at an early age to protect themselves later in high school or college. They can play flag football all the way up until high school. I mean, so can they move more – so football will, I think, live or die based upon – how much it acknowledges the concerns that parents have out there and then makes the appropriate reforms to introduce kids to the game in a manner where they develop physical literacy and solve problems with their hands and their feet. And then later, as they grow into more of an informed consent scenario, they, you know, we transition into tackle.
Hard to know if it lives all the way through to that. I'm going to leave that question as a rhetorical question right now about 5 to 7, but it's real. Brenda Easter, you've been right in the middle of this. Bennett Omalu, you hear our coach in Texas saying, I want to make it as safe as we can as long as people love it. What do you say to that? We've just got a half a minute, Dr. Omalu.
Well, I have an MBA from Carnegie Mellon University, one of the best business schools in the world, in the management of risk. What you do, you mitigate exposure to that risk. You can never reduce risk to 0%. In the high-impact, high-contact sports, blows to the head is intrinsic to the play. It is not accidental. Once you play, in every play of football, there is injury to the brain. In every play of boxing, in every play of mixed martial arts. And that is why, in order to mitigate exposure to accidental injury, move towards non-contact, regulate it, and play it safely. Not see fire and walk into the fire.
We've got it. Dr. Bennett Omalu. His new book is Truth Doesn't Have a Side, My Alarming Discovery About the Danger of Contact Sports. With us from Sacramento, California, Dr. Omalu, thanks for being here.
God bless you. Thank you.
Quattro Gross in Hill Country, Pop Warner Football, joining us from Austin, Texas today. Good luck to you and all your kids, Quattro.
Thank you so much.
Brenda Easter, who paid a big price here, with us today from CTE Hope. Brenda, thank you for your insights.
Thank you for your time.
And Tom Ferry at the Aspen Institute. Thanks so much, Tom.
Thank you, Tom.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point.